How's it going, everybody? I am your host, Matthew Morgan. Welcome to that time of the week. Today, I am ideally going to be interviewing Heidi Lee Morgan. She has yet to call in, but, you know, I told her to call in around 10:15 or so, so we got a little bit of time left. You know, it's one of those days, I suppose. Today has been long. I had to be here at 8 in the morning, so I had to wee up at 7:30, which is, I know, doesn't sound like sound early to you know, most of the people, but... Well, you know, there we go. Wait, there we go. That should be right.
It's just 2, 3, 4.
Alrighty, cool. So, yeah. So, I mean, I got up at 7:30 and then, you know, had to, you know, I came here, got out of here at 1, went to my house, take a shower, and then I had to go to work.
Is this how your show opening goes every week?
Oh, you know, no.
Oh,
just
Lord
today, you know, gotta you know, save time, so I gotta, you know.
Mike, give him some clips from
some
the American
somehow.
School of Broadcasting. Slip in there. Tell us how that all works in there. Pearl Bailey used to say, "Open with a song," didn't she? Ray Brodsky.
This is a carryover from the previous show tonight.
That's probably broadcasting school. You learned that to inform people where these little bits are coming
from.
Well,
that's true.
Darn right.
You have to give the source.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Did Pearl Bailey teach you that?
Earl, not Pearl.
Listen, that ship sailed about 2 hours ago. It's Pearl Bailey.
He was a great broadcaster in...
I don't think you should call her a man.
Earl Bailey was a man.
Okay, but we're talking about Pearl Bailey.
You are, I'm not.
Oh, well, but that was your teacher, right?
Earl.
See, that's not a good story. But Pearl Bailey was your teacher. Now you're talking.
Oh.
How many people got taught at the American School of Broadcasting by Pearl Bailey?
None.
Well, that's not what I understand. At least one. Was she like a one-on-one tutor or something?
Yeah, she had gas. She was a one-on-one tutor.
Oh, the poor lady. Okay, what else you got?
Well, you know, this is Matt's show. We probably ought to let him talk.
Well, I thought you were going to give him tips how to stall for 4 minutes till the wrestler called.
Know,
we're down to 1 minute now. Good, whatever. Tell us more about your day.
Yeah, there you go.
I was basically already done. I went to work, and then, you know, the rest is history. Showed up here. So we did the two shows that we just, you know, got done doing.
How'd you feel those went? Great. There you go.
I think that... I don't think we ever have any bad shows. I think that some of them are definitely, you know, better than others, but I think
I thought this one was good.
Yeah, I think it was good.
Had a good comedic tone to it.
Oh, yes, it did.
That's good.
Was laughing the whole time.
Well, you should have been. I think we all laughed once you started throwing out facts that we find questionable, like that Pearl Bailey was the teacher at the American School of Broadcasting. But I like it because I think it's fascinating that she did that later in her life. But I think that you throw that out there as a fact, I think, is a little questionable. But hey, you know what? Those are your credentials, not mine.
Scott, you're not going to let that go, are you?
No, from now on, every time I open up a show, I'm going to say, this show is brought to you by the former professor at the American School of Broadcasting, Pearl Bailey herself. Look her up on Google. She was fascinating. And she could sing, too. She was just great.
So what kind of music did this lady make?
Oh, she did it all. She was opera to R&B.
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?
There you go. Oh, I bet she taught that in class, didn't she?
No.
Was that one of her tunes? Play one of our tunes on your little device there that you were watching a show on while my show was going on earlier on. Let me do that.
Well, I had to have something entertaining.
Yeah, go ahead. Pull up your from our teacher there.
Let's see if we can...
Pearl Bailey.
Wow.
I'm getting nervous at 16 after. No Heidi Lee Morgan.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the login to my...
Oh, and I can't get on the Facebook. It's all going downhill. Hit it. Let's hear Pearl Bailey. I'm sure that's in the public domain by now.
Sure,
Pearl Bailey music. Dead air. Here we are.
This is one of the things.
If you're
that's the advertising.
That's not Pearl Bailey.
State-regulated burial.
Here we go.
Here she is with Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, mark it down. Ed Sullivan and Pearl Bailey.
Actually, I tell you the truth, Ed, but everybody's somebody, but you're nobody until somebody loves you.
I've heard that quote before. Pretty nice little, like, you know, jazz music.
Is Ed singing with her? Oh, that's horrible.
Actually, he is.
God almighty. No wonder she ended up at the American School of Broadcasting doing that.
There was a local Ohio broadcaster who made a record of that same song.
Well, don't you have any of her big hits?
That would have been...
What was her big hit?
Let me finish with my thought.
We ain't got a whole hour. We ain't got the whole hour here.
Bob Braun had a big hit with that.
Oh,
song.
Bob Braun.
Yeah.
Yeah. He worked for Ruth Lyons.
Well.
And she used to beat him up.
Until he took over the show.
Oh, and you know, no, I don't think he did. I think Nick, there's a whole story there, but go ahead.
Okay.
I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into Ruth Lyons.
Well, we got to get into something.
Well, I don't want to get into Ruth Lyons' dirty laundry here tonight.
Why not?
Well, because she had her skeletons, like we all do.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes I think skeletons should be shared. It sounds fun.
Well, Bob Braun was on the Ruth Lyons show, and Ruth really didn't want to leave her show. She had two strokes, and her daughter died, and it was a horrible time for her. She didn't even say she was leaving the show. She actually wrote a letter in, and she was gone. But she kept in touch because she had a Christmas fund for kids for years. So she ended up not... this is where it gets murky. But her show was taken over by Bob Braun. I'm not sure if she was ticked because the show went on without her or she didn't like Bob Braun. I really don't know what the reason was. But forever after she was off the air, when she would come back at Christmas, she would either call in or every so often she might appear, but she really didn't like to appear. She would usually call in. But she would do the promotion on the competing show, which was hosted by Nick Clooney.
Oh.
And people said that was because she had bad feeling toward Bob Braun. So, there you go.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Now, when I had my tonsils out when I was 5, I did receive a G.I. Joe and a Tonka pickup or a dump truck, which I still have, from the Ruth Lyons Christmas Fund.
Not a big piece of chew?
No.
Do you have Pearl Bailey's big hit queued up there? I thought that's where we were going with this.
Well, I didn't know we were going anywhere, to tell you the truth.
Well, no, I was telling you about Ruth Lyons' history. Oh, well, Heidi Lee Morgan just saw the message.
Yes.
She should be calling in any time now.
Ideally.
Or unless not.
Unless I had given the wrong phone number or something.
Oh, mercy me. What'd you say?
I forgot. Shoot.
Oh, she forgot. Well, she'll be ready to go for this interview then.
Well, you know, I mean,
you don't have anything written down for this?
No.
Okay. Well,
I mean, we had a whole like the majority of the time we were at WrestleMania. We were just kind of chit chatting. So
all right.
I mean, we ended up talking a lot about women's wrestling and how women, you know, back in the day didn't get paid as much and things of the sort. So
Moolah, I talked to her about Moolah.
I mean, there was conversation.
The fabulous Moolah.
Well, I mean, I think we just brought it up due to... Oh, we're getting a call here.
All right, here it goes.
Hello?
Hello.
How's it going?
Hey. Better late than ever. I had it written, too. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to be doing?
So what have you been up to since WrestleMania took place?
Oh my gosh, my schedule has been really full. On a personal note, I have one daughter, and last week I became an official mother-in-law because my daughter she took the name of Steigerwald. So she's been with the young man for 8 years. And they winded up moving to Berlin because he worked with NSA for the division where it is because he has his master's in the Holocaust, dual master's in the Holocaust. So he's working for NSA doing that. So they had to pack up and move down to Berlin. So that's where they're at, and that's where they're making their home. So... Yes, I arrived back last weekend. It was a week ago today that they were officially married. So it's been one thing right on top of the other as far as that's concerned. And then Of course, you guys know I have a radio station on top of what my real career is, which I'm an educator for fitness here in Boston. So very busy. I've been very, very busy.
Well, you know, being busy is always good. Being busy is good usually. I mean, you got to stay busy. Otherwise,
absolutely.
You know,
and also too, from doing for participating in WrestleMania, just showing support for the generation that I was in, which was the generation that Bull Nakano, who was inducted in the Hall of Fame, she was with WWE back in the early 90s, and so from that. A couple of opportunities came up for me signing contracts to do personal appearances, and which will be in July and August, and also one in September. And there's a couple of different things going on in the area that working with the community as well.
What do you think about the production quality that the WWE puts on?
That's actually a very good question, Matthew. So when I was with them in 93, one of the things that I was impressed with, because I love watching behind the scenes on what they do, how they navigate. When I was with them in 93, it was a very incredible production then. We had a stationary camera at ringside. Of course, you had your two cameras at ringside that were floaters that the photographer, the tech that was navigating it, would be at the ringside. And just in the evolution, you know, 30 plus years that we participated, and now we're here and watching. Now they have the drones that were flying around for WrestleMania. When we were at SmackDown, I was watching how they do still have the cameraman or woman on ringside. They still have their stationary camera, but now they also have the mechanical camera over the ring where it can hit angles that a person couldn't hit. And I thought that was pretty interesting to see behind the scenes how that was set up. Not to mention as well as when I was there, you know, they had two professional theme strips for television shows that would come up with your costume. You would fall out or whatever the vision was for your costume, and then they would put it together for you. Well, when we entered for WrestleMania day one, because WrestleMania, you know, was a two-day event, on day one, that was the first thing that I observed. They had over 10 seamstresses there, constantly busy working on the different costumes for the wrestlers. And then also, back in our time, we had two hairdressers / makeup artists. And they had to protect hairdressers / makeup artists to work with those that were getting ready to perform or do interviews. Just, again, very fascinating on how they are able to navigate in and out.
I mean, me and you talked about how well, like, the production quality of the WWE is so well done that me and you at WrestleMania, when we were talking there, we were even trying to figure out what the overhead was on it because we thought it was so incredible.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, back in the day as well, Matthew, they used to have on the ringside just the canvas that said, WrestleMania, whatever year it was, and then whoever the sponsor was. And that was the other thing you and I were discussing. I said, does anyone even realize the expense that goes into the aprons around the ring right now? They're technical. They they go from, they switch, they're computerized. I'm thinking, you know, what happens if it's interrupted, like if there's a wrestler hiding underneath the ring, or they have to get a table at which they displayed at WrestleMania. They displayed that on the day one because they were pulling out the ladders, and it didn't even affect the computer chips on the side aprons. And that alone just boggles my mind. I still didn't Google to see how much that would cost. But yeah, I think we were discussing at a low end for the tickets, if it was $100 a person, or was it $150, Matt?
I do believe it was around $150.
$150. And
those are for the seats way up.
Yes, and so we just took it across the board of $150, and I believe Snoop Dogg said attendance was 140,000 sold tickets. Is that right?
I believe so. Yes, over the 2 days of WrestleMania.
Over the 2 days. So I mean, just the math alone, and then we were trying to discuss like how much they paid Snoop Dogg, you know, and these other performers coming in. Not to mention how much the pay per view were, or how much the streaming was to watch. What people I don't think realized, which was something that we were impressed with, I had shared with you when I did WrestleMania 10. Now, I didn't wrestle, but what I did was, they invited WrestleMania 10. I winded up doing the autograph signing for that day. And then I watched the show, and of course they gave me per diem. They paid me to show up that day. They gave me $250 in cash, and I had to sign off on it. And Arnold Skolin was the one who gave me the money that day. But 30 days later, I received a check on Madison Square Garden ticket sales. And the ticket sales on what they had for, you know, whoever bought a ticket to watch WrestleMania 7. But this has nothing to do with the pay-per-view yet. This was just for the to watch the show. You had a seat. And I was on, it's pretty funny because on my check it said my percentage of the gate was 0.001%. So I didn't even register as far as that's concerned. 0.001%, but I received a $2,000 check just from the ticket sales alone outside of the $250, and that was without me taking any bumps. That was just me looking to signing autographs for an hour and then getting to watch the show and, you know, talking with, you know, my co-workers in the back and stuff. Then, that was 30 days later. 90 days later, I didn't even realize I get another check from WWF. They were WWE at the time still, but WWF. I mean, they were WWF, not WWE yet. WWF for another $1,000 off of the pay-per-view. And again, on that check, it was 0.001%. So again, I wasn't even registered at a 0.01%. It's 0.00. There were two zeros in front of it. So my contention, because at the time I was married, I was getting ready to get married. I didn't get married yet. Me and the gentleman I was with at that time were like, just imagine what The Undertaker must have been getting, because The Undertaker was like hot and on fire that year. And I'm like, I'm a 0.001%. What is he? Like, if I got, you know, 3,000, if I got 5,000 just to look cute, I didn't take a bump, I didn't get beat on, I didn't wrestle, I didn't put my life in jeopardy that day, like all the other wrestlers did, because they're incredible stunt people. And here I made $5,250 plus all expenses paid to go up there, right? So what would The Undertaker make? Now, you go 40, 30 years later from my, because that was WrestleMania 10, And the one that we just, I met you guys at was WrestleMania 40. So now you go 30 years later, you know, you see like what Bailey and them were making, $3 million contracts. You know, this is where it's evolved. And honestly, that was another thing, Matthew, you and I were talking. Like, I don't understand. I can't one of us, like, I don't think like for us to get mad at the new talent for finally getting paid. Somebody had to pay the way for them, and unfortunately, that's life. And you know, at least 30 now compared to what you know we got back then. But you know, I was pretty grateful considering the time and era we were in. We were there to color the card, and we had to fight for every single dot. But at least the young ladies today are reaping that reward. And just me talking with quite a few of them, they recognize that. They understand. And the one young lady I was speaking to had the opportunity because she was a basketball player at Arizona State, and she was getting ready to go for pro basketball. And this was three years ago, and the highest bidding was $65,000 a year. And she had the opportunity, because she loved wrestling and playing around with it, to wrestle. And she's like, why am I going to sign, you know, for $65,000 a year when I can make $100,000, if not more, plus merchandise? And she's got a, you know, pretty good lucrative contract right now with WWE. And like, but how sad is that? She says the one thing that she did get out of that, she said right now wrestling, if you look across the board, the women are the highest paid athletes in the pro wrestling industry out of all the sports industries, out of basketball, out of, the only one that comes close, honestly, is tennis players. The tennis players are the ones that, but even if you look at their base pay, it's not what Bailey's making. That's off of, you know, residuals and if they're doing sponsorship, but their base pay might only be like $100,000. These girls now with WWE, if they get that opportunity and they can make it and land a contract, you know, is incredible. $300,000-$400,000.
I mean, you know? As a matter of fact, I mean,
it has advanced.
The highest paid WNBA player, me and Scott had a conversation one day about, because the first pick in the WNBA draft got paid something around, I think, $50,000, if I remember right. And the highest paid WNBA player makes, like, $225,000 a year. So, like, the highest NBA player is making less than the average, professional in any sport.
Absolutely. And so, you know, it is recognizable, and it's a shame that it's not a fair playing field. The young lady, I think her name is Kylie, she was just, she was the first pick for pro basketball this year. It was, all matter of fact, it was the week leading up to WrestleMania. Incredible athlete. Her contract was $70,000. That's what they signed her for. But they said, oh, but she'll make close to $500,000 with commercials and stuff. And it's just like, it boggles my mind. The one good thing, and this is what the young lady that I was speaking with that signed the contract with WWE, that she made the choice to go with WWE instead of signing with the WBNA, right? What she had said to me was, the one good thing is she did get a college education under business. And she said because of basketball. So, you know, she has accrued a little bit of debt, not much. And it was because of, you know, her room and board. It wasn't because of her education. She got a free education. But, of course, she had to pay for housing on top of that. So she had to take out some money for that. She says, so she's grateful because now the position she's in with WWE, she can utilize those skills for that for life. And she's 28, and I said, good for you, my daughter's age. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm like, that is really good strategy, like thinking. I told her, you know, in this industry, you'll be lucky if you get a 5-year run. And I said, you know, so make sure whatever you do, you're smart with your investment, you know. So just incredible, just the whole production in general, just for WWE, it was just very, it was an incredible experience, and it was just so interesting to watch behind the scenes.
Now, you said the average run for a wrestler is about 5 years. How long did you wrestle?
So I actually wrestled probably 12 to 14 years on and off, but it took me, so I started with WWE when I was 19 going on 20. I started with that doing bodybuilding activities, and Vince McMahon was expected in wrestling, and I said, no. And my dad was a wrestler, but my dad was a wrestler, and you know, my dad just didn't like being away from the family, but my dad was a big time sports fan with wrestling. I tell you, who was in the injury, like his history of wrestling was phenomenal because of his love of the sport. So we were raised around Gorilla Monsoon, Songbo, George, and Hill, but we really, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, another day. And so an opportunity came where, you know, I was asked to wrestle. I'm like, no, that's okay. So I did the bodybuilding exhibition. So for about 7-8 months, I did that for WWF. And that was in 85 going into 86. So I started September of 85 and went to Boston, was in Baltimore, was at the Spectrum in Philly. I went to Pittsburgh. And around April, I decided, you know what, maybe that's fine, right? So I'm like, we get a hold of the marketing director, and his name was Mark at the time. And we said, okay, you know, I'll try the wrestling. And he said, okay, so we're going to send you to Mola School. And that's what I did. I went to Mola School. And then that was it. It took me 7 years to get back. You know, I'm thinking I should have just stayed where I was at, you know, because I was making my way. But in the hindsight, I'm glad that I did go the route I did because I was respected more with the women in the industry. Had I stayed on the route that I was, I wouldn't have had the respect from the women that, you know, came from Mola School, and then the women that I met across the country and in other countries. So, you know, that happened for reasons, and, you know, but it did take me, Matthew, 7 years after I said, okay, I am gonna learn how to wrestle. I went to Mola School, and 7 years to get back to WWF, you know. But at least I did, and I did it the right way. You know what I mean? I put my bumps in, and I just kept on climbing the ladder. I respected the women that I worked with because I knew that if we didn't work together, we wouldn't have any work, you know? And I think that's the nice thing that I appreciate about the women's life. Some of them, from what I'm observing, really respect and appreciate that, you know what I mean?
One of the most interesting things that I remember us talking about when we were at WrestleMania was that in your era of wrestling, I don't remember exactly how you phrased it, but the women weren't wrestlers, or however you had phrased it. They were there to add color and to,
yes,
you know.
Yes, so my generation, here's the thing. We were equally as talented as the newer generation that is out now, right? We had to work very hard to prove that we were good wrestlers. At least the women that I worked. Now, I know there's different eras where it was all TNA. I was not a TNA. Now, I was a controversial wrestler because when I was three, I was very small. When I mean small, like I was not obese. I was not 5'10". I was 5'4". And I always had an athletic body. I always had a sports body. I always had a muscular body. So I had to prove myself 100 times over because the women that I wrestled were 5'10", 100 pounds, and weren't muscle. A totally different body composition altogether. And back when I entered wrestling, their wrestling gear, you know, they used to put elastic around their lower part of their big suit or their crush, so nothing would fall out. And when Moolah and I were discussing my crush, she's like, oh, you got to put elastic in your bands. I said, yeah, that ain't happening. She says, oh, we can't have your hiney falling out in the ring. That ain't going to happen. I said, oh, no, but I'll wear stockings. I said, I will not cut my legs. Like, I'm not going to cut my legs look like Funky Monkey. I work very hard to show my muscle and my muscle composition. I said, so I will make sure my legs are covered. And that's the age of, you know, I wore the spandex, which it cracks me up because everybody wears spandex now, you know, on a daily basis. But back in my generation, that was very like, oh, my God, she's got second. The legs with the spandex, and that's very controversial for back then. Like, oh my God, can you believe what in tight pants? And it's like they're six. Everybody wears under their workout, you know. And then my outfits were custom made, and they were G-string styles. And then I always had my stomach cut out, but I wrestled. I could work. I was never, you would never catch me, you know, my back because I wasn't. So the women that I wrestled were not that character. They were not those sexy women, you know, the bra and panty stuff. We didn't do that type of wrestling. We actually really worked. But we were always told that the girls would only be the color. We were there to color the card, to add a little pizzazz to it, but the men were always the main event. And that's what we had to fight against. And now, it's a 360. I just watched SmackDown tonight, and just every other match, basically a female match, you have females that are commentators, females that are doing the interview. So, whether it's to put, you know, things, the reputation that WWE had because of issues that's going on with Vince McMahon right now. I don't know. I just know that at least it's going in the right step and that they are, you know, the women are coming out fierce and strong.
Now, what do you think about the whole Vince McMahon situation?
Well, I got to be honest with you. We were talking about that. I think we briefly touched on this. I never had an issue with him. He was always respectful. I was also not one of those women that were, I was not a champion. But in a lunchroom, he'll tell you, I never had that issue with him. So I can't answer that because I did not experience that. I'm not saying that somebody didn't experience that. I did not witness that, nor did that happen to me. So, if it did happen, and there's evidence, then I'm going to have to answer to that. But when I worked for them, I didn't have that issue. Alundra Blaze did not have that issue.
Would you tell me a little bit about your induction into the 2024 Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Yes, so, when the one that I was inducted to or the Bulls?
The one you were inducted
to. Okay, so I was actually told that I was nominated by Alundra Blaze and Candy for the Women's Hall of Fame and that it would be for 2024, and I said, you know, they said that I was a nomination, and I said, you know, I'm honored because, you know, every year I hear that I'm nominated for something, but, you know, it's never come through, And then finally, in September, when I had an autograph session in Hamburg, PA, Hamburg, PA was noted for every year a big wrestling wrestling con, and I decided to go there to sign autographs. And here, the Women's Hall of Fame came up, and Chris himself came up and, you know, inducted me into the Hall of Fame. And my dad was there, so it was a very special moment. And honestly, I'm very honored because of the women that are the trailblazers already. You know, a lot of noted, respected women. Luna Vachon, Alundra Blaze. There's just a plethora of women. Sherry Martel was inducted as well. So I'm very honored and humbled that I was part of and that I was recognized.
Where is the Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Well, there's one up in Connecticut, and then also some of the board people, like, they're from all over the United States. She herself is from Florida. Chris is from, I wouldn't say Massachusetts. And a couple of the other ones are from New York, from Connecticut, that are on the board of trustees.
Nice. It's pretty, you know, wide thing.
Oh yeah, they're even recognizing fighters as well. So I trust that knows anything about you know, the shoot fighting. They actually recognized a couple of the fighters from that industry as well. So you know, they have a large plethora of people that they respect and want to honor.
So now, how did you end up, how did your wrestling career end?
Okay, my wrestling career ended actually because I chose to be a mommy. We started building a feud. Alundra Blaze and I decided to tag up together, and we were wrestling against Bull Nakana and Luna. Then they were going to bring in a couple of other women, and I received my invitation to the Royal Rumble in December of 1994, and it was January of 95, the Royal Rumble. And it was Pat Patterson. Pat Patterson was the main booker for WWE back then. And called me about mid, it was like the second. Says we got your plane ticket and hotel accommodations for WrestleMania for Royal Rumble, and we wanted to go over, you know, what we wanted you guys to do, and you guys are going to be champions that night, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, and said that more information from I'll call you back. Well, I kind of had a hunch that I was pregnant, but I wasn't certain. So I thought, you know what? I better take pregnancy test just to make sure. And I did, and it said positive. And then I did it again just to make sure. And like 2 days later, Ann calls back, and she says, okay, everything, this is, and she started going. I said, Ann, that I've got to tell you something, and I just started crying, and she said, what? I said, well, I'm pregnant. And she said, what? And I said, I'm pregnant. And she says, oh, no. And I said, yeah. And she says, well, how far along are you? And I said, I'm about 7-8 weeks. And she says, oh, so you're newly pregnant. And I said, yeah. She says, well, we can still do the match, and we can still, you know, and then you can drop, you know. So I said, I can't, like, God forbid, like, I was told I could never have kids. So I had to make a decision. And I said, listen, I understand what you're saying. Don't take any belly bumps. You know, do X, Y, and Z. I said, but you gotta understand, I'm gonna be getting in the ring with Luna. Okay? Luna, incredible wrestler, but you never know who you're getting into the ring with wrestling Luna. I said, what happens if she kicks me in the stomach? I said, you know, I was told I couldn't have any babies. So, what happens if this is my only chance to have a child? And she says, oh my God, I don't know what we're going to do now. And I said, I don't know what to tell you. But like, I can't pick that. Like, I can't pick going to Luna. Like, I knew the other women wouldn't do that because I knew that they were mentally sound. But Luna's was never mentally sound. So I couldn't change that. So I had to bow out. And honestly, to this day, I only have one child, which is my daughter who just got married. So what happened? You know what I mean? Like, you have to make a decision. Like, Alundra never had kids. Montana never had kids because their industry was wrestling. It's Debbie Combs never had kids. It's Martin Leilani Kai because they couldn't. You know, they had to make a decision on their theater or wrestling. You know, now when the women have kids, and that's another thing that's come such a long way, that some of the women that I wrestled with are very resentful on. They're like, it's not it. They couldn't have kids. They gave up their whole life for the sport, and they're not even being compensated the way that the girls are today. And I said, but it's not the girls' fault. Like, we paved the way for them to get and reach the sport. You can't. But then you got to be mad at the office or those that paid us. You know, you can't. It's not their fault. We paved the way. But I know a couple of the young ladies I was talking to behind with WWE. They do that. And they are able to navigate. But back in my generation, navigating are done by it, and that's how it was. You know, so that is how come I bowed out of the industry. Because I had my daughter, and then when I did decide to get back into the industry, I was wrestling with Alpha, because Alpha, the Samoans, worked hand-in-hand with WWE back then, and before you could get, like, WWE would send people to them to polish, and then Alpha and them would have them, Alpha and them would do some shows and say, okay, to the office, they're ready for you. So I knew that I was getting ready to go back. I had received a phone call in September of 97. And from the office, Pat Patterson was still in the office. And they said that they wanted to bring it back for the 98, right? I said, okay. So I did a couple of shows for Alpha to get out and to get in front of the people again. First couple of matches were fine because I wrestled veterans, but my last match I wrestled, which was September 20th of 1997, he asked me to wrestle one of the new wrestlers that he had at his school, her name was Kathy. So I wrestled her, and of course, you know, when a person's in front of an audience the first time, they had to break and freak like a chair, and that's exactly what she did, and I winded up breaking my back, three vertebrae, and had a body cast on for 6 months. But that did in my career 100-fold outside of having my daughter. So between getting pregnant in January of 95 and then breaking my back, trying to get ready to go back to WWE December of 97, that is what finalized me being in the industry.
We got about 4 minutes left here. What have you been doing since you, since your retirement?
So, since I retired from pro wrestling, I worked on being a better human being for myself and to be the best me. I'm certified and I have degrees in fitness and fitness education. I was a physical education for 9 years. because I did drop out of college, but I had enough to hold me over. I stayed very heavily in the fitness industry on all aspects of working out, and I landed a very lucrative career with working with corporations, where I am a trainer coordinator, where I train for 1,000 people a month, and I work with other trainers to make sure they are doing the onboarding plan correctly, that they're navigating and they're utilizing their talents for the whatever facility they're assigned to. So if they're working in Reading, PA, or Lancaster, Planet Fitness, for their following protocol with the corporation. And then on top of that, I also have my own radio station, not radio station, my own talk show called Woman Encouraging Woman, trying to reach one woman at a time, where I interview, I've interviewed judges, attorneys, doctors, pro wrestlers, teachers, coordinators, educators, all walks the plethora of life for women on what, you know, how they got started in that industry. Everyone has an incredible story, Matthew, on their life and what they, their hobbies. One viewer out there that might be listening that needs a pick-me-upper, or maybe they want to be a tattoo artist. I had a tattoo artist on my show, and had a very good response. We have over 200,000 listeners in our area because it is an FM, and that follows through on Facebook and social media. So that is what I am currently doing now, and just trying to, you know, embrace each chapter and bring out the best of anything that crosses my path. So that is what I am up to right now.
Sounds exciting.
I love my life. You know? You have to. But it was, listen, I am so grateful that I got to meet you and your cohorts at WrestleMania. It was just a pleasure actually speaking with you and the knowledge that you have. And even, you know, when we were talking with your friends on just interviews that he's done alone on people, it boggles my mind. I love learning. I really do enjoy the opportunity that I had WrestleMania to know you guys and to learn from you guys.
You know, likewise, honestly, I had such a good time talking to you at WrestleMania, and I'm glad we met.
Yeah. So, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. We'll have to do it again
sometime.
Sorry
for the delay.
Oh, no, you're good.
I don't like telling somebody I'm going to do something and not do it because your word is all you have. That's old school, you know? If you don't keep your word, you have nothing.
You know, I agree with you. I think the word is just about anybody has.
Yes. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. We'll have to do it again sometime. It was good.
Absolutely. You have a great thing, and just keep on passing it forward.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See ya. All right. That was Heidi Lee Morgan. You know, Women's Wrestling Hall of Famer. I met her at, you know, the WrestleMania. She's a really nice woman. If you ever get the chance to meet her, I highly recommend you do. That is it for the show. Without further ado, I thank you all for listening, as always, and join me next week. See you guys.
Thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.
Oh, there's two Marlas.
Oh, there's another Marla.
Yeah, Danny's daughter. No, that's Marla.